What? John Biggs? Where's John Biggs? There's no John Biggs. Mike Neighbors in for John Biggs today, and very happy to have with us as our expert on call. It is Bobby Asadourian. Just Ask Bob, Triple R Inc. Contracting, and the contractor you can bring home to mom. That
thank
is the
you.
Name of the book. Okay? Well, listen, you want to thank the first right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate, it's you first. I'm thanking you for being here today.
Oh, wait, listen. Now, of course, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to get a chance to talk to you because I have some personal questions that I need
we're
answered.
We're going to definitely jump on your to-do list, but
yes.
I just want to get a quick thank you out, and I know they're listening, all the good people at Indigo, Indigo Bookstore, Stony Creek Mountain. They allowed me there this past Sunday to do my first book signing, and Mike, I can tell you it was exhilarating. I mean, a year ago, if somebody would have suggested this to me, I would have laughed it off.
Right.
And as a contractor, what am I going to be doing in a suit signing books in a
what
store?
What are you doing there?
But it was fun, though. It was
That's
really,
cool.
really fun.
And meeting people who are interested
exactly.
in this kind of information.
Well, right off the bat, 15 minutes off the gate, these two ladies came in, and they rush right to me. I mean, it was just incredible. They found out I was there from the store, and right away they're going on and on. We talked for almost 45 minutes about, you know, horror stories. They had a sewer backup, problems with the insurance company, problems with the contractor, things didn't go right, and they're going on and on about it. They found somebody good now. He's doing it right. They found out about me originally through the Spectator, and of course, I autographed the book. They left with the book.
All right. Well, the book, you can find it in our local bookstores, A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom. Bobby Asadourian is here to answer your calls. If you have a question about repairs, fix it, about finding that right contractor, 905-645-3200, pound 820 on the Bell Mobility. And Bob, let's jump right in with...
Well, yeah, tell me about your to-do list.
Well,
I caught
you
on air earlier, and
yes,
I'm sure you've got a more than an arm's length of a to-do list.
It's very long, but the first, right out of the gate, I want to get this across, because this is important, and this is why you need to hire a contractor who knows what he's doing, because we all start to do these little fix-it-up jobs mm-hmm. ourselves, and sometimes we don't know what we're doing, and that can be dangerous. And I want to talk about hanging Christmas lights. I want to talk about
yes.
getting on a ladder, getting on a roof, because you know all about the safety that's necessary in that.
Well, it's very, very important. First of all, don't climb the ladder if you're not comfortable. I mean, that'll tell you something. It's not meant for you.
Right, yeah.
Get somebody in. I mean, I don't do it myself. I'm too busy. But believe it or not, it's a big emerging market. There are firms out there that for a flat fee
right.
will decorate your whole home on the outside.
Right.
So again, I don't know who they are or where they are, but I'm sure you can look them up through the internet.
Yep.
That's right off the bat important. If you're not comfortable on the ladder,
yep.
or at least, I mean, call in your brother-in-law, your family, your neighbor, you know, have someone, I was going to
yeah.
say, some beer and pizza after
yeah.
the effect
yeah.
is done.
Yes.
Take care of them. They'll take care of you. Now, if you feel you are comfortable, I mean, the important thing is the projection, and there's a mathematical equation for this, but we'll keep it simple. It has to do with the height of the ladder
yep.
versus the amount you projected out at the bottom.
Okay.
Now, obviously, you don't want it completely vertical. You can't make it.
Nope.
You don't want it sliding out all the way. You want it sturdy on the ground. Have another set of hands, maybe the wife,
yeah,
maybe a friend again,
yeah.
hold it at the bottom.
Yeah.
Be very, very safe. But, I mean, you know. I mean, everybody out there knows. If you're not comfortable, if it's
yeah.
not for you, don't do it. We don't want any accidents.
And another set of hands doesn't mean your 4-year-old, because they're likely to wander off.
Well,
so,
yes.
you know, make sure it's another adult that's helping you. When you get up there, one of the things that you can do to help help your house is make sure you clean up the eaves trough.
Exactly. You've got a double excuse now. You're doing Christmas lights
right.
and eaves troughs. And it is so important. I can tell you, too many homeowners let it go too far. The latest one I ever did, not a fault of my own, but we were there almost a week or two before Christmas. It just had to be done. And this was incredible. I had to use a masonry concrete chisel to tap with the hammer to break up 5 and 6 foot sections, an inch thick of ice that was in the eaves troughs.
Man.
So I was pulling out these sections, perfectly curved, smooth ice at the bottom,
yeah.
with at least as thick as you could fit your hand, about 5-6 inches of stuffed leaves.
Right.
So we cleaned it all up, but I mean, don't anybody let it get that way.
Yeah.
October, November, you've still got a few weeks. Clean the eaves troughs all around the
what
home.
What happens what is it that's happening? Because it's going to back up underneath my
yeah,
shingles. It's going to buckle those.
Yeah, you're going to get a backup. You could get water leaking up in the attic, or you will get that drip. It will drip over the eaves trough, and you'll have that reoccurring ice patch
right.
possibly even next to your walkway
yeah.
or next to the entrance to your garage, and that'll reoccur. It'll freeze and re-thaw
yeah.
reoccur right till April next year.
Yeah, and that's always going to be
dangerous.
A dangerous spot, and if you're not out there with the salt and everything,
exactly.
and you're on the hook, right?
Exactly.
Somebody slips and falls.
Mailman, anybody. So, I mean, make
yeah.
sure everybody's carrying the proper liability on your homes. You're
okay.
ultimately responsible. We talk about that on and off air all the time with John Biggs, and it doesn't just pertain to the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
It also applies to the mailman or even the canvasser or solicitor that's
yeah.
knocking at your door.
What is my responsibility as a homeowner if I hire a contractor who is not necessarily properly licensed or whatever? I mean, does that put more onus on me and my homeowner insurance?
Your first responsibility, any homeowner, be responsible to fully, completely empower yourself with knowledge. And you're going to win.
Yeah.
So the first way to do that is to buy and read my book.
Okay. Now,
the second way to do it, I mean, that's in the book. Call the city. It is so easy.
Yeah.
Contact the city. Tell them what you want to get done to your home. Ask them what license requirements are required. I can tell you right now for Hamilton, Brantford doesn't require this. Hamilton does. Burlington doesn't. Toronto does. It varies. That's why you got to call your city.
Right.
Pretty well, no matter what we're doing in your home, as long as it's not painting or something that simple, contractor requires a general building repair.
Okay.
This assures you, the homeowner, that I'm going to have $2 million liability insurance, city verified, police clearance, city verified, and a passing grade on my exam with the Ontario Building Code Exam, the Bible of, you know, how to repair homes or how to structure and build homes.
Right.
So there's that, and then, of course, legwork. Get to know the contractor.
Yeah.
Right off the, regardless, if he passes A1 with all the paperwork, you don't like him, you get a bad feeling, go with your feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, forget sophistication, forget education, forget what we've evolved to. De-evolve. Go back to caveman times. Instinct. There was a reason why caveman would run. Instinct. We still have that instinct today. If you don't feel comfortable with this chap, don't hire him.
You know what?
Call the next guy in.
I was hiring a contractor to do a job at my house, and it was before I'd met you, or I would have given you a call. But ultimately, I ended up with three different contractors come to my house.
Okay.
The prices varied so much that it was like stunning to me. And I was putting in a set of patio doors.
Okay.
Where there had been a window.
Okay.
So I needed to get permission, right? I mean, I was
of
changing
course.
The structure
permit.
Of the home, had to get the permit. But though, you know, the one guy came in at, you know, maybe at a grand to do this job. And
okay.
another guy was at like, you know, $2,400. And I go, well, how can there be so much difference?
No, I believe it. The problem is many industries are regulated municipally or federally. They're regulated for pricing.
Right.
Home improvements, contractors, it's not regulated. It's a free, wide-open market. Now, however, the big problem is it is very, very difficult to get apples-to-apples quotation.
Right.
Now, in your case, these three varying prices, were all three including a permit? Were all three city-verified trade license? Were all three using the same material, same lentil beam? Did they write it down and pass it to you in such a fashion that you could very easily look at it? Because what I find—
So I could compare them because there's no way.
Yeah,
I didn't get any of that information.
Okay, yeah.
I got price.
Okay, because this is what I find, that this is really what happens. When you're getting these varied quotes, I can absolutely guarantee you, let's use your case in point.
Okay.
Because that needs a permit because you're changing the structure.
Right.
I can guarantee you can go back home, try this again. If this happens now, one or two out of the three won't include a permit. I would say two out of three won't include the permit. But they don't write this.
Right.
And unfortunately for the hero, the good guy that's using the permit, because he's a good contractor, he's not a good effective communicator. In his disgrace, he's the good guy using the permit, but he's forgetting to write it.
Right.
And he doesn't
right.
think he needs to.
Yeah.
Because in his mind's eye, again, he's
a tradesman.
He's a skillsman, but he's not a writer. He's not a communicator.
Okay.
Here's where my book bridges the gap between you've got good tradespeople and you've got, which are usually poor communicators, and then you've got vice versa.
Okay.
So really, the homeowner has to work, to rework, to get these quotes apples to apples.
Yeah.
Then you'll see the weeding out happen. You won't even have to compare three anymore. There may be only one guy left.
You
may be down to zero.
May make the job real easy.
Exactly.
At finding
exactly.
the guy. You've got some questions from your website, and if you want to ask a question via that way, you can go to RRIncContracting.ca, and certainly you can ask Bob there, or you can ask him here on the air with us right now. 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. If you want to jump on and ask a question of Bobby Asadurian. Give us one of the questions you got from the
We had a few
website.
Of these come in over the weekend. Now, we've got question one here. This is from Don in Hamilton. And I want to thank you, Don, for sending us the question. Dear Bob, what is better quality for my two-car garage door? Currently, it's an 18-foot wide door. A metal lift door or a wood lift door? I've priced both, and it seems that they sort of have similarities in warranty and in pricing.
Right.
Now, Don, to me, at least in my mind's eye, I mean, you research it yourself and go knock on a few doors in the neighborhood, but I believe metal. Tri-tested and proven bulletproof metal.
Yeah.
My own home has a metal door. I mean, the metal door is fine. Over time, they may show some rust. They may wobble a bit if you push on them.
Right.
The premium, the deluxe, is to get metal, styrofoam insulation, and a secondary skin of metal. Don't ever skimp on the one in between, which is metal, and then just a foam foam bat that they've put against
that's
it.
That's what I have.
Oh, that's what you have. Yeah.
Well, that was, I mean, it came with the house. I mean, well, no, it was the builder's choice, right?
But the deluxe, though, is they don't use the foam, the bat foam.
Right.
It's actually a 2-inch styrofoam and then another sheet of metal.
Okay.
Those are almost required when you've got kids with a basketball net.
Right.
Anything they may beat on that door,
yes,
it actually makes it like a steel entry door for the front of your home. That's how they're made.
Right.
Now, the wood ones, again, let me give you the reason, you know, okay, the reasoning behind my madness here. But the problem with the wood doors are, and I see this in my own survey. The painters for new home construction, the builder literally will pull them off painting a 2,000 to 3,000 square foot home and say, run, run, run. The door guys just installed 3 left doors. Go spray those immediately.
Okay.
There is a massive and tremendous rush to get them sprayed. They don't come sprayed. Like the manufacturer, right, for new home construction, or the manufacturer will come in with the doors. He'll have his 2 men install it for the builder. They're never painted. I mean, you'd think for such a sensitive product, they'd have it pre-baked or painted at the factory.
Yeah.
But that's only with metal.
Okay.
So these wood doors, the second they get wet, they swell. So the race is on from the moment they're installed to spray them. I mean, you could practically spit on them and they'll start to swell. They're not a high quality wood.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for longevity.
Okay.
And actually, my own survey, 3 have just recently been replaced. I mean, they came with the home. The homeowner didn't like them and he had 2 of them replaced with metal. One was done with vinyl. Now, I noticed the gentleman here in the email, he didn't ask about vinyl. Vinyl is also available.
Okay.
Now, again, and just ask Bob quality of honesty here, I am not qualified at this point to speak on vinyl.
Okay.
In my opinion, metal outweighs them all, but I would recommend then that Don does take a look at vinyl, you know, inspect that, maybe go somewhere where it's been installed or ask a manufacturer for an address or two with permission. But when the day's said and done, I would definitely stick with the metal door.
With the wood door, are you in a situation where you're more likely to have to do some refinishing of it, repainting of it,
of course, forever.
Yeah.
The problem is, I mean, wood that's been painted on the exterior of your home, that's obsolete now. It's so funny. It's obsolete except for these cheap doors they're putting in.
Right.
The day and age now, everything's vinyl-clad doors, vinyl-clad windows.
Yeah.
And even homes that have wood windows, I'm going in them capping it with aluminum.
Right.
Aluminum that's been baked on at the factory has a life expectancy like your soffit and your eavesdrops, 30 years plus. You'll never have to worry about the steel door. With the wood door, I mean, you better paint it quickly every time it wears out because, I mean, it's moisture sensitive.
Yeah.
All the old Hamilton homes came with the big, fancy, heavy wood front doors.
Yeah.
Gorgeous doors, but do they seal right? Never. They're out and they're exposed to the weather. They warp a bit.
Yeah.
Today's steel entry doors with the magnetic weather strip, they shut in the equivalent factor of a refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
It's like shutting a fridge and you hear that hush of air.
Yeah.
And it just magnetizes itself at all 4 sides.
I want to ask you, since you brought up ceiling,
yes,
I want to ask you a couple of questions quickly about ceiling. And one of those was, is it too late to do any wood ceiling? If I wanted to do something with my deck at this late juncture in the fall?
Very, very late, too late.
Okay.
Yeah, the deck ceiling, your deck's not going to get much worse now between what it is
okay.
and next spring. All of those sealants, stains, semi-transparent, whatever they are, they're all temperature sensitive to approximately 8 to 10 degrees,
okay.
24-hour period from when you apply the stain. That should wait till spring of next year.
Okay, so I'm going to wait till spring of next year. Driveway sealer,
off the bat, I'd say wait as well. I mean, again, check with the manufacturer, read the label on the product. Possibly there is one out there that's not... that can sort of make it just barely with the temperature we're having
right.
now. But again, why risk it?
Yeah.
Do it in the spring.
Yeah. Guys like me always running so far behind, you know.
Everybody, I am too. No, it happens.
Everybody is.
It happens.
It is Bobby Asaduri. And Just Ask Bob, RRIncContracting.ca. If you want to visit the website, you can ask your questions there. You can join us on the air here, 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. Coming right back with more questions for Just Ask Bob when we return. John Biggs is away on vacation. Mike Neighbors filling in for John Biggs with Bobby Asadurian. It is Just Ask Bob, experts on call, and you can ask your question, anything that has to do with renovations, hiring contractors, making repairs around the house, 905-645-3200, #820 on the Bell Mobility. That's how Peter got through. And Peter, welcome to the show. Go ahead and just ask Bob.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir? Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah. Okay, quick question. I don't know if you can answer it or not.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Why, when my wife does the laundry, or if we empty the bathtub, am I getting air bubbles up the toilet?
Oh, my God. Very, very good question. I just had this happen in my new home. This is amazing. I can tell you what mine turned out to be, and I'm very sure yours may be similar. I'll ask you a few questions. How old is the home?
Oh, as old as Jesus.
Oh, okay. The opposite.
That's going way back.
But let me tell you my story, and then you can tell me if you've got some similarities. Okay. I mean, my whole life, I've proudly lived in 100-year-old homes, 60-year-old homes, old Hamilton homes. I just recently moved to the Stony Creek area to a new home. Now, it was the most incredible thing when the washing machine was running, when it would drain, the toilet downstairs in the powder room, you know, it would be gurgling. I could hear it. I could be watching TV, and I'd run in there, and the water's kind of swishing and gurgling. So there were some plumbing issues. Now, again, builders, as I've said at other times on shows, it takes forever sometimes to get in there. So it was really puzzling me what was happening. Then what it turned out to be was it was a plumbing issue, but it was a venting issue. Now, when new homes are constructed, the ABS vent stack lines that come out through the roof, the black ones, are on old homes, the cast iron ones. In this case, they had them capped, you know, so debris wouldn't come in. Well, actually, so they could pressure test the system. Mm-hmm. Now, when the roofers went in to shingle it, they're supposed to cut these off, because what this comes down to is, let's put it this way, bottle of water, you put your lips around it completely, you turn the water up in the air, what happens? It won't flow, it'll sort of gurgle. Mm-hmm. Take your lips off half of it, you're letting air release behind it. So every fixture, every item in your home that drains must have air behind it. So there's an air line, ABS, or in your home, it would obviously be cast iron or lead. Those lines run out the roof. Now, from what you're describing, there could possibly be even a bird's nest. There could be blockage. There could be some type of an issue. But again, is this only that isolated fixture, or is it the kitchen as well? Is it other areas of the home?
No, I don't notice anything like in the kitchen sink or anything. Like the laundry room is on the one side of the house.
Is it a bungalow?
No, it's a two-story
house. Two-story home.
No, I don't have any plumbing upstairs. My vent is, it's the old copper, big, what is it, about 3-4-inch pipe.
Okay, and you can see it from the street side, sort of,
yeah.
If you glance. Okay, so you can see that, so it does look like it's nothing's at least covering it or bothering it from the roof side.
No, but I'm just wondering, like I was told once by one fellow that what they would do is, like I've had the septic, I thought maybe my septic tank was full.
Oh, you're on a septic system, so you've got well water coming in.
For me?
Oh, you're on a septic system,
yeah.
For the drain, and then you've got well water you're using to come in. You're not on city supply.
No.
Okay, that makes it interesting, too. That throws a variable there.
Yeah. Now, I was told, too, that what I could do, I don't know if you agree with this or not, is to take a garden hose and run it down the vent.
Yes. Actually, that's a good idea, or even a snake. Mm-hmm. I think the easiest thing would be go up there, and again, we've just been talking about ladders. Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the garden hose, actually rig it so it's already on full blast,
mm-hmm.
and then fish the hose down with it. I mean, try to get it as down as you can. Obviously, don't get it stuck in there.
Right.
That might just, I mean, it could just simply be a bird, a little a nest, anything sort of choking it off, and that will cause havoc with the plumbing system.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is a plumber snake. You know, if you have one of those, you can also start that up from top and sort of wind it.
Yeah.
And again, I always encourage people, as long as you're doing it safely, you're saving yourself a lot of money from calling me down or bringing a plumber in.
Mm-hmm.
Try all these things yourself. I mean, you may end up fixing it very easily.
Right.
And of course, you know, be proud of the work you've done and you've saved some money.
Yeah. Now, would that also cause, like when my wife, she starts the washing machine, like in the laundry room, there's no water coming out yet, but you still get an odor.
Oh, now that's a different story. If you've got odor, that's absolutely the opposite end now. We're talking so far with slow draining or gurgling or whatnot, that's vertical. That's up in the issues at the roof with the venting. If you've got an odor problem, let's work our way the opposite end now down to the basement and through the sewer system. But it may not have to go down that far. It could simply be you've got a problem with the P-trap right under the laundry tub.
Okay.
Is the odor close to the laundry tub?
Yes.
But this situation, this laundry facility setup's in the basement are ready to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
'cause some homes are on the main floor, the
right.
Second floor. Is the odor very close to the sort of washer, dryer,
yeah.
Laundry tub?
Yeah.
Underneath your laundry tub, what do you have? Black ABS or is it...
that white stuff.
Oh, white PVC?
Yeah.
Well, I hope, obviously you should. You should have a P-trap, a U-shaped P-trap under
yeah.
the tub. Do you have a clean-out?
Yeah.
Good. Basically... Open up the, put a pail underneath, open the clean out,
mm-hmm.
and water should pour out, not a lot, you know, a cup or
right.
two of water. If that happens, you're set, you're okay. If
mm-hmm.
nothing comes out, then the P-trap wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
and of course the sewer backup. See, basically, every fixture, and in your case in the basement, I would assume probably just the laundry tub, would have that pee trap. Every fixture throughout the home has a pee trap, because if there's one thing smell can't travel through, is water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not that, I would look at your floor drains. Now, you mentioned it's a very, very old home. You could very easily have floor drains that are leaking. And basically, in those old homes, sometimes code requires you get a big, huge pail, 30 or 40 liter pail, fill it with water, dump it down the floor drain of your basement almost on a monthly basis, because that refills the pee trap. So basically, you've got to do some sniffing. Sniff at the pee trap laundry tub. How many floor drains are in the basement? Yeah. One or two?
I've got none. There's nothing in the
bin. Oh, again, I'm sorry. I've been running on the route now, assuming, because, again, most homes have a drain system.
No.
Again, you're on a septic system, so
right.
All your stuff's overhead.
Yep.
Ah, okay. Now, again, I don't specialize in septics. That's all, that's a very special beast. But, I mean, I can tell you generally the same system applies, but there's a pump now. You have no gravity with the traditional system that, you know, 90% of the city's on. Everything flows downhill,
right,
as the old saying goes. And, you know, if it's not pee-trapping properly, you'll get smell coming back in. But in your case, from what I understand, there is a pump. It's pumped because gravity has nothing to do with it. And it's all above in the ceiling joists. I mean, for that, again, you should bring in a specialist. I don't specialize.
But he could try the P-trap thing first.
Oh, no, definitely.
And
try,
see if
yeah,
that...
yeah, try the P-trap, definitely, because it makes sense, because I know for that for a fact, no matter what system you have, water leaves your laundry tub. There is a P-trap underneath. Make sure that it's working and it's holding the water.
Peter, you got your work cut out for you, my friend. Thank you so much for calling us.
I really appreciate the call, Peter. Actually, if you have any more questions, I mean, if you want further on it or whatnot, easily contact me at the office.
I will do so.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for your time and advice.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks.
It is Just Ask Bob, RRIncContracting.ca. You can get more information on Bob, on his services, and on asking him questions if you want to follow up with that. He's got a book out in the bookstores, A Contractor You Can Bring Home to Mom. Very interesting, I guess. Every time you get a question,
this was a good one. This was a good one,
but there's a lot of those twists and turns.
This made me sweat.
It's all those pieces of the puzzle that get put together. Very quickly, because we're almost out of time, but I'm going to ask you quickly. I live in a fairly new home, 7-8 year old home.
Okay.
If there's two water sources being used, I get a lot of shaking in the water pipes.
Rattling.
I get the
And unfortunately,
is there a way to fix that easily?
Well,
Bob, tell me, please.
Anywhere they're accessible, anywhere you can see them, in the joists, you know, the open area of the basement.
They're still open.
Put some shims behind there. Put a piece of block of wood, and then put a copper strap. Or is the plumbing supply copper?
Yes.
Okay, because in some homes now it's all plastic.
Okay,
but if you've
got
copper, it must be a strap made of copper. They've got it out the big box stores.
Okay.
Don't use a non-copper.
Okay.
It'll strap, so I can go around and try to tack that
definitely
down.
Definitely
tack it down,
so
because that's called water hammer.
Okay.
If it happens too often, you don't address it, it'll burst.
Okay,
it's important.
I evidently am now leaving the radio station and going to a big box store to get some copper. I have to take care of it. It's been like that for 2-3 years now.
Oh, no, it happens.
It's been rattling like crazy, but I better take care of the problem.
Definitely.
Just ask Bob. Bob will be happy to take care of your problems. RRIncContracting.ca. It's Bobby Asadurian. Just Ask Bob. Experts on call. Thank you so much, Bob. I mean, the time
Thank
just
you.
Flew
I had
by.
A great time with you.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to seeing you again, my friend.
Thank you.
All right.